Yes.
Okay, all right, I won't mess with the format then, all right, okay.
Yeah.
All right, then I think we're ready to get to work. Call the council to order for our Thursday, June 20th session and ask you to call the roll, Carla.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Hales?
Here. So we have a series of items, all of which have something to do with adopting the budget, and only one of which is the actual adoption of the budget. But some of these are required by state law, like the hearing on state shared revenue, and that's our first item in order. So bear with us while we're working through the technicalities of this, but it's all about the budget. It just is broken down into separate, discrete decisions because of the requirements of the law and our own charter. So if you'd read the first item, Carla, we'll take that up.
Item 606, conduct a proposed use hearing on state shared revenue.
Okay, Andrew Scott is our... Yeah,
and actually, I think we need a Jeremy statement from you on this.
I have a statement here in the notebook that I need to therefore read. Sorry. Thank you. Okay. This hearing is held by the City Council of Portland, Oregon, in compliance with the provisions of the State Shared Revenue Regulations, ORS 221.770. It is to allow citizens to comment on the proposed use of these funds in conjunction with the annual budget process. As proposed for council adoption, the fiscal year 2013-14 budget anticipates receipts totaling $13,819,575 from state revenue sharing under ORS 221.770. As has been the case in prior years, it is proposed that this revenue be allocated in equal parts to support fire prevention and police patrol services. So is there anyone here who wishes to be heard on this particular item this morning, this afternoon?
We have one person signed up.
Okay.
Lightning?
Come on up. Thanks, Dan. Good afternoon.
My name is Lightning. The concern I have is that we clearly are not looking at providing housing to the currently homeless as being considered a service. To establish eligibility for state shared revenues, the city must certify certain services are provided by the city. Yet there is no mention of the homeless in this resolution. Is not the reduction of homelessness to be considered a service provided by the city? It is my understanding the state shared revenue funds are comprised of approximately $13,819,575 in cigarette and liquor taxes in 2013 and in 14. As been the case in prior years, it is proposed that this revenue be allocated in equal parts to support police patrol services and fire prevention. Again, reducing homelessness should be the city's number one priority, with certain business owners claiming losses of 10 to 30% attributed to homelessness. The overall losses could very well exceed the overall amount of the general fund. So I ask, is there any reason that the state shared revenue in the amount of $13,819,575 could not be allocated in equal parts between police, fire, and Portland Housing Bureau to help reduce homelessness? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, is there anyone else signed up on this particular item? Then I'll close the hearing unless there's further council questions or discussion on the proposed use of state revenue sharing. And we can take up the resolution that certifies that we meet the eligibility requirements for state shared revenue. And why don't you read that item, Carla?
Item 607, certify that certain services are provided by the city to establish eligibility for state shared revenues.
So state law requires this action as well. ORS 221.760 requires municipalities and counties of over 100,000 in population to certify that certain services are provided are eligible to receive state shared revenue. The services certified by the City of Portland are police protection, fire protection, street construction, maintenance and lighting, sanitary sewers, storm sewers, planning, zoning, and subdivision control, as well as water. So that's the that's our proposed list of eligible services. And is there anyone signed up to testify on the resolution?
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this.
Anyone here want to testify on that? Then, unless there's further council discussion, we can take a roll call on the resolution.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Approved. Okay. Now, next item is 608.
Approve accepting funds from the State of Oregon under the State Revenue Sharing Program for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2013 and ending June 30, 2014.
Okay, so this is the next step in this convoluted process in state law. We've had a resolution that certifies that we meet the eligibility requirements. We've had a hearing to talk about what we can use the money for, and now we have to, by ordinance, elect to receive state shared revenue for the upcoming fiscal year. So that's the ordinance before us. Is there anyone signed up to testify on that one?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Okay. Council discussion. It's an emergency ordinance, so we'll take a roll call on that.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Approved. Okay. Item 609.
Approve creating the Education Urban Renewal Area Debt Service Fund, 42nd Avenue Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative Debt Service Fund, Cully Boulevard Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative Debt Service Fund, Park Rose Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative Debt Service Fund, Rosewood Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative Debt Service Fund, Division Midway Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative Debt Service Fund, and the 82nd Avenue Division Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative Debt Service Fund, and closing the Cable Fund and Private for Hire Transportation Safety Fund.
Okay, so this is, again, a technical ordinance that has to be passed in order to create these specific funds. It also is an emergency ordinance. Is there anyone signed up to testify on the ordinance?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Anyone want to testify on that? Any further discussion? Then roll call on the emergency ordinance 609.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, now we're to the budget itself, item 610.
Adopt the annual budget for the city and establish appropriations for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2013 and ending June 30, 2014.
Okay, do you have a...
So, yeah, at this point, we actually need a motion to entertain the changes in the approved budget as presented.
Okay, so this is a motion to adopt the changes in Attachment A. No, it's...
Attachments B, C, and D.
Okay, B, C, and D.
Second.
Great.
Discussion on adopting the amendments.
So at this point, Mayor, now I'll go ahead and just walk through a little bit of the detail. Yeah, there's a lot of process there, although it's worth about $13 million of state shared revenue, and now we've closed and opened a number of funds, and so we're good to go on the rest. What I will do today is walk relatively briefly through the adopted budget. What we normally do at this point is walk through the change memo in terms of the major changes there. I will do that in just a minute, although there's not a ton of changes. But I did want to spend just a second on a document that you should have in front of you, and we've got some extra copies over here as well, that sort of talks a little bit higher level picture about the city budget. There was some reporting in the last few days about the city budget that I think might have missed the mark in terms of exactly the situation that we faced and how we've addressed that sort of moving forward and what's before you in the adopted budget. And so what this document tries to do, and this is the FY 2013 adopted budget summary of general fund changes, on the general fund side tries to walk through at a very high level sort of the process that we've gone through. What you can see on the first page there, as you'll recall back in December, we were projecting about a $25 million shortfall, and there were a number of reasons for that that are listed. When we then update the forecast, as we do every year in April, the shortfall had fallen to about $21.5 million. So that was an improvement, although $21.5 million is still an extremely large ongoing deficit in our general fund. And you can sort of see listed there on the end of page 1 and 2 what improved to get from that $25 million down to $21.5 million. What I'm going to spend just a little bit of time on is on page 2, and this is the adopted budget. And these are the actions that essentially are included in the adopted budget to bridge that $21.5 million shortfall.
The very first one I'll note there is that there are bureau reductions of about $20.3 million. Again, these are reductions from current appropriation level targets. Current appropriation level is, as most of you know, for every bureau, it's increased by inflation. But the idea is it's roughly meant to equate with current service level. So we're providing a service this year. Certain costs are going to go up next year through general inflation, through personnel, through PERS, et cetera, that drive those costs up. And again, the shortfall we have, $21.5 million, comes off of that. Bureau reductions are making up $20.3 million of that.
And on that point, you note that that's over 142 FTEs.
Right.
When all the bumping occurs and at the end of this process, how many actual individuals do you expect will lose their jobs?
The latest estimate that we had regarding actual layoffs, I think, was 26. That's always a moving number because, again, in a city of our size, personnel changes are happening every day. But I think it's worth stressing, and again, this is something I think some of the reporting might have missed, 142 positions are being eliminated. And the reason why the number of layoffs is so low is that bureaus have held those vacancies for two reasons. One, we had a vacancy savings requirement this year, so there was some requirement. But bureaus also knew that these cuts were coming. And so very responsibly, they haven't filled positions in anticipation of that. The cuts would have been far larger had bureaus not been doing that. And what that means is there has been a service level reduction throughout the year as those vacancy numbers have increased. So again, the 142 is a real reduction. It's a real reduction in positions in the city, and it's a real reduction in work that's going to be accomplished by the people who would have otherwise filled those positions. I think we've done it in a more humane way through our voluntary retirement incentive program and holding the positions vacant so that the number of layoffs is smaller, although 26 is still a large number of layoffs, and particularly to the people in those positions. I wanted to note of the $20.3 million, and again, embedded in that number is about $3.5 million of PERS savings, so arguably that's not a service level reduction. The legislature and the governor signed a bill that reduced those costs, but even the net amount there is about $16.8 million. But of that 20.3, police and fire combined make up $11 million. Parks, OMF, and PDC add about another $5.2 million. The remaining bureaus make up the rest. So it is a significant amount of bureau reductions, I think, again, contrary to some of the public perception that may be out there about what's been happening. Cost of living allowances also contributed just under $2 million, about $1.75 million, again, by reducing cost of living from the projected 1.8% to 0.9%. Span of control and administrative process review combined added about another $1.5 million of savings. And then finally, telecommunications revenue with the resolution of the CenturyLink lawsuit and realizing that the estimates we had were a little bit low, that's going to bring in about $500,000 more. And then finally, on the add-back side, we did add about $1.6 million to general fund contingency to more adequately fund that, so it's a little bit more appropriately sized given the size of our general fund. And then finally, an innovation fund of $1 million that is intended to invest in city innovations to generate future cost savings. What's included, and I won't go through it, on page 3 and 4 is a bureau-by-bureau breakdown of just general fund discretionary. So keep in mind, this is not total bureau budgets. This is not non-general fund budgets. It's just general fund discretionary breakdown. What it shows is the current year adopted budget. It shows what the bureaus at 100% of their current appropriation level would have been. And it shows in 13-14 their ongoing and one-time in total, and then it shows the change from Cal. There, every bureau has a different story, and so we always caution a little bit when we put together a summary table like this. There are certain functions that have moved between bureaus, so other things that have happened. So we can explain and crosswalk if there are any specific questions about these numbers. But I think it does, again, I wanted to make sure that the story wasn't lost, that to bridge our shortfall this year, bureaus have made significant reductions and that have been, again, in the proposed, approved, and now the adopted budget. And finally, on the last page, it shows a bureau-by-bureau breakdown of FTE, again, to sort of add up to that 142.25, which was the final number. So with that high-level summary, I will just hit a couple of highlights in the adopted budget. And what you'll see in Attachment B in the change memo that we filed with Council, you can see those changes. Probably one of the biggest things between the approved and adopted, we have added about 20 positions, so it was about 162 FTE being cut. It's now 142. 11 of those positions are in the Bureau of Development Services. One of those positions, the enhanced rental inspector position, is being funded out of general fund. Again, that was coming from general fund contingency, budgeted contingency to BDS. BDS has also added a neighborhood inspector position as well as some other positions as well. BES, the Bureau of Environmental Services, has added one position. The Commissioner of Public Safety has added one position. And finally, the Fire Bureau has added seven positions, most of which is bridge funding for the 3 months of July through October. Other changes of note in the change memo is the health fund is adding about $1.5 million, and we discussed yesterday in the overexpenditure ordinance. Again, this is part of the voluntary retirement incentive program. Bureaus, again, to the extent they had eligible people and approved those retirements, they transferred that money in the overexpenditure ordinance, and now the health fund is budgeting that next year. Again, that's that program was very successful in terms of getting those retirements. Those were the major changes in Attachment B, and then Attachment C, again, has more detail in terms of which funds, and then I would finally turn your attention to Attachment D, which are the budget notes. And there are two significant changes in budget notes from what Council passed in the approved budget. The span of control budget note has been amended just to deal with the date and just change a little bit in terms of how that process is going to run. And then the Bureau of Environmental Services Community Watershed Stewardship Program budget note was removed because the Bureau of Environmental Services in the adopted budget is already identifying within their existing resources the $134,000 that Council requested, so there didn't really need to be a budget note because they were already getting it done in the adopted budget. And with that, I would be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Questions for Andrew or Jeremy? Does this reflect the changes everyone wanted to see? Okay. Thank you. And then do we have anyone signed up to testify on the budget itself?
Yes, we have one person, Alan Furschweiler.
Alan, come on up.
Actually, Mayor, I would just say I think to the extent if there are any amendments at all, we would want to do that before testimony.
Okay. Any further amendments to put on the table? Okay. Thank you. Well, then why don't we make room? I think Alan's bringing someone with him here, so. Thanks. Afternoon. Thanks.
For the record, Alan Furschweiler, I'm president of the Portland Firefighters Association. Thanks for giving me a moment to speak. I have some handouts I'd like to give to you real quick. And what those do is those outline some of the changes that are going to be starting on July 1st of this fiscal year. And so, and I want to highlight the first page that you see is the mapping staffing that we have for Station 8 and up in North Portland. What the changes that are going to happen there is they're going to go down from 8 people down to 4 in that neighborhood association. The blue that's on the first page shows how we can get 16 firefighters there within 8 minutes. If you look on page number 2, that's where the difference becomes, and what you see as red is the difference that happened in those neighborhoods. So if you look at the neighborhoods of Woodlawn, Portsmouth, University Park, North Kenton, and especially Hayden Island, you'll see that we'll no longer be able to respond and have 16 firefighters within 8 minutes. I think that shows specifically in those neighborhoods. Page 3 and 4 shows you for Station 2 out there also some of those differences. So I just wanted to really emphasize that there are going to be quite a few changes for those two neighborhoods up there. I think there's a little bit of a misrepresentation on how the union feels about the RRV program, and I'd like to clear that up right away. The union absolutely is not against the RRV program. We like the theories of it. We do like how other departments around us have staffed it, including Tualatin Valley and Vancouver Fire. And so similar to them, we would love to see, instead of reducing services to certain neighborhoods and then putting them in other neighborhoods, we'd love to see the additional staffing to be able to put that program in place. So again, make no mistakes, we are not against the RRV program. What we are against is the decreased level of service that it's going to be provided for these neighborhoods. Some of the other stuff in this budget that's definitely concerning and kind of in the details is the arson investigators almost being cut in half. Definitely, we have one of the more active arson units in this state, let alone in the Northwest. That's going to be reduced by almost 50%. Second thing, of course, is the dive team. I think that as we look at things. Removing the dive team from downtown Portland with the number of incidents that we have is something that you guys should look at again. So again, just to be here, one of the big things that I wanted to be able to talk about was what happens on October 1st. And I think that that's really, today is today, but October 1st is really a large time for the city and the Fire Bureau. And as we look at the SAFER grant, that's something as the council I would really ask that you guys to look into and applying for, because we have bridge funding till October 1st. If we don't apply for that grant or we don't secure that grant in October 1st, the maps that you see that are red right now, we're going to have to decrease the levels even more. So again, I would appreciate you guys looking into that. I would hate to see any further cuts of that, and I appreciate your time today.
Alan, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
First of all, I want to publicly thank you for the time you spent with us during the budget process, sharing your concerns and educating us about firefighter concerns about this budget. And I think you understand that it is our hope as the economy recovers that we can reinvest in basic services in our community, that we hope that this is the budget where we stabilize the patient, and we are seeing some upticks in revenues, and we'll look forward to investing in basic services, and nothing could be more basic than public safety. You mentioned the SAFER grant, which you had also talked to me about. Do you have some concern that the city is not aggressively pursuing that, or are you just reminding us that we've made a commitment to do so?
Yeah, the work with the mayor's office has been consistent that until that comes out with the final information, they can't commit to it. But as long as it's everything that we've talked about, I feel pretty secure that the city has given their support to it. I think getting the final recommendation from FEMA to make sure that we're eligible without the retention requirement is the last puzzle piece before we do that.
Well, you've been a very strong advocate on this. And, Mayor, it's my understanding it's our expectation we'll move on this. And if there is some glitch, I hope that comes back to council so we can discuss it.
Yeah, that'll be a big deal. And Commissioner Saltzman and I certainly want, both from a budget standpoint and from a bureau standpoint, if for some reason there's a problem in the rules that come out from FEMA, that's a bigger than one commissioner issue. My opinion.
We know about problems with federal rules. Okay, I run the Water Bureau. But thank you for putting that on the record, and we will be vigilant in following that.
And if that does happen, I look forward to working with the council to find a resolution. If those rules do change, which we do not expect to, I'd be more than happy to work to find a resolution on that.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you being a constructive partner in difficult stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Any
questions for Alan?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else signed
up
to testify? Okay. Then I think we are ready to take a vote, unless you have anything else that we need to do before we take action, Andrew. So you're just here to provide a drum roll after all this work. Thank you. Okay. Roll call on the budget, please.
Is this on the motion first, Andrew?
Yeah, we need to move to amend.
We've already put the motion to amend.
But the motion
the table.
To amend. So we do. Right. We vote on the amendment.
Vote on the
and
motion
then come back
to amend,
the
and then on the budget itself. Thank you, Amanda. So roll call on that.
Yeah, actually, it's a little different than the approved budget. So for the adopted budget, since there were no amendments, you can go ahead and take a straight vote on the adopted budget. Yes, and I'm getting the yes from the city attorney. So
you asked us to make a motion to amend. That was the first thing we did. So don't we have to vote
up? It was a motion to consider the changes as presented in attachments B, C, and D.
So is that the main motion, or is
so
that
we haven't motion? Further amended? We've simply incorporated the previous amendments, right?
Well, there's significant adjustments to approved budget.
Yeah, there were changes. So
here, I
help
propose,
us out there.
Since,
let's
since
just
we
let's
get to
do it the
rules,
safe way and adopt the amendments, incorporating all of the attachments, and then we'll vote on the budget approved budget itself on the actual ordinance. That belt and suspenders. Okay, let's do it the safe way.
Okay, so this is
On the amendments, on the motion to amend.
Okay. Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman. Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
I particularly appreciate the additional funding for enhanced neighborhood inspections in East Portland. Thank you, Mayor. Aye.
Hales.
Aye. And now on the budget ordinance itself.
Fish.
Mayor Hales, this is the hardest budget that Commissioner Fritz and I have worked on since we've been on the council, and it's your first budget. What made it especially hard is a structural problem that we inherited which is the impact of a library district. And I actually think in the last 6 months, the community has gotten almost a PhD in the whole question of compression and how the zero-sum game works. And I think the next time there is a measure before the public to create a district, we'll have a more transparent discussion about the true implication of such a decision. Because the net result was that one body, the county, now has a structural surplus, and one body, the city, now has a structural deficit because of something called compression. Now, that may be a fair trade-off for having a library district, but it is, I think, fundamentally, as Steve would remind us, a function of a dysfunctional tax system where we're playing zero-sum game with these decisions. We've had to make incredibly difficult choices, and that includes cuts in public safety that frankly, were not on the table 2-3 years ago. There are three reforms that incorporated in our process. I just want to highlight again, Mayor, because you led us on one of the key ones, and that was zero-based budgeting, although I guess it's called modified zero-based budgeting because you didn't take us down to the studs, but you took us down to 90%. And I don't remember a change which created more transparency in our process since I've been on the council than that. And I think it actually changed the way the public and the council reviewed the budgets. It changed the conversation. And I think that, as I've said, I hope that's a reform you want to, that you continue with, because I think it has changed for the better our budget process. I also want to shout out to Commissioner Fritz for the second reform, which I think had a fundamental change in how we did our budget, which is the Independent Budget Office. And it changed both the dynamics of Andrew's shop and how we relate to him and the experts, but it also created another level of transparency in our process, which I think greatly benefited. And the third is I want to give a shout out to Commissioner Novick, my partner in the subcommittee, because I think the bridge funding concept, that when you asked subcommittees to go deep and come up with innovative ideas, I think the bridge funding concept, where we use one-time money to protect positions ahead of our retirements so we would not forfeit the gains we had made in our equity goals, I think that was a substantial improvement and a change. So I want to call those three out. We've talked a lot in prior discussions about the values behind this budget. I won't belabor them, but I think in particular what I appreciate during a recession is this budget reflects investments in safety net services, investments in strong neighborhoods, investments in healthy families and children, and that I think is vitally important when people are being hammered by a recession. You said and have said many times, Mayor, that there's real pain in this budget, and Andrew has reminded us. And we take no solace in the fact that even though 120 positions are being eliminated, that there are actually 26 human beings who are going to lose their jobs. And they have families and mortgages, and they have hopes and dreams, and they are all people who are public servants. And we deeply regret that anyone has to lose their job in this budget, and we ought to acknowledge. And we also ought to acknowledge, as Steve Novick did the last time we came together, shared sacrifice. Our labor partners have agreed to take a cut in the COLA, and as Steve reminds us, that is essentially a pay cut. And so everybody has come to the table to help us craft this budget, and I want to thank our represented employees and our non-represented employees for being willing to do shared sacrifice. This is a tough budget, but I think it's a realistic budget, and I hope, Mayor, it's a budget which creates a strong foundation from which we can start to reinvest as we see more revenue coming our way. I personally want to thank Andrew and his team for the superb job they've done. I want to thank my colleagues for a very collegial process and one where I learned a lot. I want to thank Hannah Kuhn and everyone in my team who worked so hard. And I especially want to thank all the members of the public who emailed us, wrote to us, called us, and came to, I think we set a record for public hearings this time. And what I did notice is every time there was a public hearing and some issue got sharpened, I noticed a little change in the budget. So I think that tells people that your voice does matter and that we tried to listen, and in fact, we did listen, and the public's voice was incorporated into the final decisions we made. This has been a very difficult process, but I think we got to an outcome that we can all support. Mayor, this is your first budget, and you came in with a few other things on your plate. I just want to compliment you with the way you have led this process. Today, I am pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank the mayor and his staff and my colleagues up here and all the public who helped shape this budget before us, and also certainly the budget office. Certainly, this is not a budget that we take great joy in. It is the deepest budget cuts I've dealt with in my 15 years here at the city, and probably prior to that in my tenure at the County Commission as well. So this was an incredible task, a daunting task, and we had to cut deep in general fund, and we cut deep in enterprise funds too, water, sewer, in order to keep rates at a rate increases at a tolerable level. I think a lot of us, a lot of the agencies, public safety agencies, took cuts deeper than we would like to see. And through opportunities like the SAFER grant, we will hope that we can restore some of the positions being cut, proposed to being cut in the Fire Bureau. So this is a tough budget. It's took a lot of process, and I, for one, do not believe we're going to have to deal with as tough a budget in the next year or in subsequent years as well. So we've hit the trough. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Novick?
They tell you you're not supposed to get into fights with people who buy ink by the barrel, but today I'm going to do it anyway. Yesterday, last night, I was at a neighborhood association meeting, and there was a city employee there who'd read an article that made him think that his bureau was the only bureau that had gotten cut, and overall the city budget was just fine. And as Andrew has laid out here today, that is simply not the case. We made serious cuts in this budget that will affect services in the city. The Police Bureau took a cut. The Fire Bureau took a cut. The Office of Management and Finance took a cut. Smaller offices like the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and the Office of Planning and Sustainability were cut. I think that sometimes to casual observers, if they hear that entire things are going to be eliminated and they're not, then they draw the conclusion that nothing was really cut. But the fact that a whole thing doesn't go away doesn't mean there aren't significant cuts to the things that remain. We did not eliminate the mounted patrol. We significantly cut the mounted patrol. We did not eliminate the property investigations unit of the police bureau, but it was significantly reduced. We did not entirely close any fire stations, but we reduced service in some stations. I mean, those are real service reductions. People talk about comparing government budgets to family budgets. If a family has to move into a smaller house and get along with one fewer car and, you know, one less dog and buys less food, then it's not like that family's circumstances didn't change. The same for the city. I think that the mayor and his proposed budget, as sharpened by the rest of the council and as affected by the compelling public testimony that we had and input from city employees, did a very, very careful and thoughtful job of balancing the budget with the resources that we had. But this is not a happy budget. And as Commissioner Fish noted, we hope that the economy will improve and that'll give us additional revenues. But part of the reason for these cuts had to do with the vagaries of our strange property tax system invented by Don McIntyre and Bill Sizemore in the 1990s, and until we can change that property tax system, we cannot expect that we can regain all of that revenue without some other significant kind of tax reform. So I want to again thank the mayor and the members of council for work in this difficult time, thank all of the city employees and other citizens of the city who helped us come to a budget which I think is responsible as possible given the difficult circumstances. But I do again want to reiterate, this is not a happy budget. There are real cuts, and we understand that, and we need to get that. We need to let all city employees know that this was shared sacrifice, and we need to let the people of Portland know that there have been reductions in services, so they're not surprised when they see them in action. We did the best we could, but there are real cuts in this budget. Aye.
Fritz?
I do support many of the choices that were made in the proposed budget, particularly full funding for the Portland Housing Bureau's safety net, which goes a long way towards meeting housing and shelter needs in our community. Clearly, we cannot house all of the houseless people in the United States, and we will continue to work to find places for those who are living on our streets today. I also support the restoration of some of the cuts in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, which supports the infrastructure of community engagement in our city, which is possibly our most important infrastructure, and ongoing funding for the summer lunches for healthy children, for hungry children through Portland Parks and the Sun Schools, the schools uniting neighborhoods, which are essential to so many working families. The definition of a board of directors is a group of persons chosen to govern the affairs of a corporation or other large institution. I didn't run to be on a board of directors. I ran to be a city commissioner, and I believe our commission form of government has many merits. I'm happy that we're now returning to it. We don't have a city manager, and so with adoption of this budget, we don't have a check and balance of a city of a chief financial officer either. So it's essential that there are commissioners in charge looking out of the ins and outs of every single bureau in the budget process and throughout the year, and we look forward to our continued partnerships with our city staff. One thing that has been great about this past 5 months is that I've gotten to know staff in a number of the bureaus that I wasn't as familiar with, and I'm so impressed at the civil servants, the public servants that we have in our community, and I'm looking at two of them right here in front of us, Andrew Scott and Jeremy Patton from the City Budget Office. This has been the first run of the City Budget Office managing the process. I think you've done a magnificent job, and I appreciate the mayor's embracing of that form of sharing of information. The entire Office of Healthy Working Rivers was cut. So that's 15% of the 26 layoffs are in bureaus that I was in charge of. And indeed, there are cuts in the community from programs that we're no longer giving pass-through funding for. So when we're counting the number of layoffs, we need to look at which of our community partners are impacted. My comments when voting on the approved budget are posted on my website on portlandonline.com, and I want to thank the dozens of folks who have emailed me, stopped me in the street, and otherwise communicated that they are grateful that I have been your voice in City Hall on issues like human trafficking and on Friends of Trees and on some of the other watershed programs that I will continue to support over my time left on the City Council. No.
Hales?
Let me tell you where I'm coming from on this budget and on a lot of other issues, and it's exactly where Portlanders come from, which is that I love this city, and I really appreciate the work that our city bureaus do. And being mayor now for just about 6 months, you know, I can't get from the dairy case to the checkout line in my neighborhood grocery store without getting buttonholed by a citizen or two. And a lot of the time, it's to compliment the work that our city workers do. Somebody who's been helped out at the scene of an auto accident by EMTs from the fire bureau, somebody who's gotten great service from the police bureau and dealing with a problem in their neighborhood. Even got a letter this week complimenting one of our parking patrol officers, not our most popular service, for the courteous and thoughtful way that they helped somebody out who was trying to figure out our parking meter system on the street. In fact, even paid their parking for them to show them how. So time and time again, I get that affirmation as a Portlander about the great work that our workers do. And that's why it is painful to me, as it is to the rest of this council, that we have to lay anyone off and that we have to make these kinds of cuts in a budget. The good news is, and it isn't just happy talk, that as Dan said, I think this is the trough, and that's what our economists tell us, that the economy is improving and our prospects as a city are rising, and therefore our ability to share not only prosperity as a city, but do a better job with a better level of service in our own bureaus will grow with that. I came over to City Hall this morning via a celebration of the opening of a new business in downtown Portland. Next week, I'll participate in a celebration of the expansion of a great Portland business. It's happening around us. When I ran for office last year, there were no private sector cranes on the horizon. It was an endangered species for a little while. Now there are both public projects and private ones under construction, and we're adding positions in the Bureau of Development Services because they're fee supported and the fees for new construction are going up. So the pulse is rising, and therefore so is our strength. And I think we can look forward to budgets that maybe use some of the disciplines that were necessary in this very difficult budget, but don't have the same end results of the kinds of cuts that we've had to carefully manage this time. It has been difficult work. It has been done collaboratively and well by this council, both as individual commissioners and as members of the subcommittees that I think functioned well and will continue to function as they work on issues like the span of control study and the other ideas that they generated in a short time. Again, I want to thank our staff, both in the budget office and in the bureaus and in my office and elsewhere, that worked so hard on this budget. Better days ahead, a good piece of work for now. Thank you all very much. Aye. Thank you. One more.
Taxes.
Item 611, approve levying taxes for the city for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2013 and ending June 30, 2014.
A very important item. Anyone that signed up to testify on the ordinance for levying the taxes to pay for all this?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
All right. Any council discussion? Then a roll call on the ordinance itself.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
As I think I had an opportunity to say a few weeks ago, Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. And I think it's appropriate that we vote separately in this item to remind ourselves that all these public services we value, fire, police, planning and sustainability, parks, Office of Neighborhood Involvement, transportation, all of them are paid for by taxes. And we appreciate the taxpayers for supporting all these services. Aye.
Fritz.
Yes, taxes pay for services, and I am very grateful to have had the resources that we've had and to be climbing out of the recession. Aye.
Hales.
Aye. And we are adjourned. Thank you all. Good work.
Thanks. Good work.